Well, I told you I had a friend who was with us this morning, and I affectionately referred to her as Nurse Nancy. Nurse Nancy and I go back a long time. It was back in the, I'm not going to say the year, that I started at Tulane University Student Health Services, and Nurse Nancy lives up to her name of being a fantastic nurse, a beautiful lady, a wonderful woman, and a lady of Christ. And I don't want to embarrass you, but would you stand up, my dear? I want everybody to see who you are. This is Nurse Nancy. And when you work as a Christian in a secular setting, sometimes it can be challenging and difficult. And so you count it a blessing when the Lord sends other Christians in your life in those settings where together you can rejoice, together you can pray, together you can support each other when things are not going well. And Nurse Nancy has been that kind of a blessing and support for me in all those years at Tulane. And God bless her. She had the wonderful ability and blessing to be able to retire and get out of that place. I'm still stuck. All right. But, you know, one of the things that I feel a very special calling toward in my personal ministry is to preach the good news of God's healing touch. And I guess it sort of makes sense, being that my first calling in life was to healthcare and is to healthcare as a psychologist, to be able to, in my own spiritual growth, to see how God's holy word speaks to us about the promises that he has for his children in this life as well as in the life to come, that we are promised eternal life with him in heaven, not by anything that we've done, but by the finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ at Calvary. When we place our faith and trust in him, when we believe in him, that promise is ours, and we become co-heirs with Christ in this eternity. I also believe, after studying the Holy Scriptures, that God has very prescriptive plans for us here in this life, in this world, where we can have an abundant life. Jesus said as much, that he comes to give us a life of abundance. The enemy, on the other hand, comes to do what? To rob and to steal and to kill. That's not God's plans for us. That's the enemy's plans for us. And so God has very definite plans for his children to live a life of abundance and to live a life of health. Now, listen. I'm not trying to be a snake oil salesman and sell you something that's not real. The reality is, I know statistics. I know them very well. And there's a one-for-one correlation with human life. You're going to be born into this world, and you know what's going to happen? You're going to die, at least bodily. See, this bag of bones we live in, this thing's not meant to last forever. But we are not this thing we live in. We are not this bag of bones. We're not some sort of physical being that happens to have a spirit. Just the opposite. We are a spiritual being made in God's likeness, and we just happen to have this body that we've been gifted. And God's got a plan for us to use this body. And for some of us, it's different increments. It may be a few years, it may be many years. But sickness, illness, disease, lack of health, that is not of God. That is not God's plans for us. And so we have to do everything in our power that God gives us the ability to do to make sure that we are living congruent with his word, so that we can continue to be the Christians he's called us to be, so that we can continue to be a light to all the world, so that when we are granted the graces and the mercies that God gives us through Jesus Christ, that we can go out and share that with others and be a witness, so that we can bring others to Christ Jesus. This is what this world needs. And if you don't believe me after witnessing what we witnessed this week on the news, this is what the world needs. Governments are rejecting, and I was having this conversation before church with Mr. DJ. Governments are rejecting it. The people are rejecting it. I hate to say it. Churches are rejecting it. The one thing we need is Jesus Christ, and he's being rejected everywhere. We need to get back to basics and understand the power of God's promises that he gives us in his holy word. And I happen to believe one of those promises is health and wholeness and restoration right here on this planet and this body. And that's a promise that we can bank on all the way up till we take our very last breath and go home to be with the Lord into eternity, where scripture tells us no more tears because God's going to dry them all. No more pain because perfection is ours, not through, again, anything that we've done because we're not good enough, but through the goodness of God, through the grace of God, through Jesus Christ. So is healing, that becomes the theological question, is healing part of God's plan? Is healing part of the redemptive work of the cross of Jesus Christ? I happen to believe it is. I happen to believe it is. Isaiah said as much when the prophet was giving us a picture well in advance of Jesus Christ, the man of Nazareth, walking this physical earth. He gave us a picture of what it was going to look like when Jesus would go to that cross to die for us, to offer his body to be broken for us so that ours could be whole. He said he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. Did you catch that? The punishment that brings us peace, it was placed on Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. He took the punishment so that we don't have to, so that we can receive the peace. And Isaiah ends that sentence like this: by his wounds we are healed. Some translations say by his stripes we are healed. What do those stripes mean? Well, the stripes are a reference to the beating Jesus would have taken, the way his body would have been beaten and slaughtered and striped and wounded. And in the New Testament, 1 Peter reiterates that very same concept. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, now catch the tense here, you have been healed. And yes, you have been healed from the guilt of your sin by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. But God wants you to use that. And this is why I say that. If at the very moment you got saved or realized how you've been justified before God by Christ, if at that very moment, if that was the end game plan that God had for you, he'd take you home right then. Life complete. But clearly that's not it. You just don't drop dead in your physical body once you've come to the Lord. So obviously he's got some plans for us. And obviously we need to make sure we're in the best place physically we can be in this fallen physical world that includes disease and disorder, so that we can brag on God. And that's what we need to be doing, accepting his gift of grace, which includes healing, and bragging on him. Yeah, you may have a really good doctor. You may have heart problems. You may have the best cardiologists on the planet. You better thank God that that's who God sent you to. You may be suffering with cancer. Maybe you're cancer-free. Amen?
Amen.
You better be praising God, because God sent you exactly where you needed to be, exactly when you needed to be there, so that you could be healed, so that you can continue to let the world know how good our God is. There's an ancient teaching in the church, and before I get into it, I don't want you to think I'm trying to preach in tongues. I don't do that. God bless those who are capable. I struggle with English, so I'm not going to try and do tongues. The words are Latin, lex orande, lex credende, lex vivende. Lex orande, lex credende, lex vivende. Lex orande basically means the way or as we pray, as we worship. Orande, it sounds like orator, right? The words we speak. Lex orande. Lex credende, basically credende, sounds like creed, right? It's what we believe, as we believe. Vivande sounds like viva, right? Life. So as we pray or as we worship, so we believe. And as we pray and as we believe, so we live. And so if you want to live a life that God has in store for you, then you need to make sure that your beliefs are congruent with what God calls your beliefs to be. And the way you know your beliefs are congruent with what God is calling you to is you get into His holy word. As you pray, as you worship, as the word is that you proclaim, so you will believe. And your beliefs are going to influence the way you live. And that's how God can use you, child of God, brother of Christ, to be a light to this world, to let God be the recipient of all the glory that is due Him. So yes, I do believe healing is a part of the redemptive worth of Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary. And I believe that we need, as a church, as a church body, as a universal Christian church throughout the entire planet, we need to be speaking that word, lex orande, so that we are able to get folks to understand it and to believe it, so that they can live a life congruent with it. If the Bible said that what you're supposed to do when you get sick is to skip around the block and sing la-di-da-di-da-di, you better be skipping around the block and singing la-di-da-di-da-di. Thank God that's not what He told us to do. Right? Because it would be kind of awkward. But He did give us prescription. It came to us today in the book of James. Did you hear it? James 5, verse 14. Did you pay attention to what God's word tells us to do? It says if we're happy, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to sing praises. And boy, we love doing that here at Good Shepherd. We love singing the praises of the Lord. It also asks another question. I just passed up James in my Bible. It says, is any of you in trouble? What are we supposed to do when we're in trouble? Are we supposed to moan and groan and complain and grump and gripe and strike out against our loved ones? No. How many of us do that? I admit it. This is why I love to confess my sins, because I know God's mercies are new every day. And even when my wife doesn't forgive me, I know God does. That's just the truth. She's smiling because she knows it's the truth too. It also asks this question, is any among you sick? If you are, skip around the block singing la-di-da-di. No. Is any among you sick? Call the elders of the church to pray and anoint with the healing oil of the Lord. And that's why we need to be doing these things, because the Bible tells us that's what we are to be doing. Now, that doesn't mean you don't go to your doctor. It doesn't mean you don't take your medicine. Don't be foolish. God has placed doctors and nurses and healthcare providers and pharmacists on this planet for a reason, because He desires for us to continue to be able to live as long as we can, as healthy as we can, even though the curse against us is death, because we are ancestors of Adam and we live in a fallen world. But He gives us a prescription right here for our illness. Get in the church. Let the elders pray over you. receive an anointing in the name of the Lord with their holy oil. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to do that because that's what God's word tells us we're supposed to do. Now, I've made a reference a little early in a service I want to kind of backtrack and get back to about how Nurse Nancy keeps me honest in my relationship with my God. Because one of the things I've told you is I have definitely an intellectual interest in the healing power of Holy Scripture and the healing power of our God in this world. And I say it's an intellectual interest because it clearly crosses over with my training, my doctoral training in psychology. But there are some things in life that are just beyond the intellect. There are mysteries of our faith that we can ponder and we can wrestle with God on. And I don't think we're ever going to understand some of them until we get up to heaven. And I suspect that once we get up to heaven, we're going to be going, I don't even care anymore. I don't need to know the answer to that. Because why? You're in the glory and the presence of God Almighty. And that's going to be a wonderful thing. And those questions are just going to seem so trivial. But Nurse Nancy had texted me not too long ago, and she says, hey, when's that next healing service? And you see, the thing that I had kind of, and I probably had even said this to council at some point. I know I'd spoken it out loud to some of the elders here at the church. I'd said one of the things I want to aim to do is to have a healing service quarterly at Good Shepherd. I think it's important. I think that we need to be preaching that power of Jesus Christ in our lives for physical healing, for mental healing, emotional healing, for addictions, for spiritual crises. And, you know, you get busy. It's not an excuse. It's just a reality. And there's all these other things that come up, and maybe you don't have the service as often as you said you were going to. But I'll tell you this. I took it as a word from the Lord when Nancy contacted me and said, when's that next healing service? And I said, oops, God has caught up with me again. And he's spoken to me through one of his prophets here on earth, my dear and darling Nurse Nancy. And so I said, okay, let's pick a date that I want you to be there. Now, Nurse Nancy's been struggling with some health stuff, and she's been through this before, and God has healed her before, and God's going to heal her again. God's going to keep healing her and keep healing you when your faith is in Jesus Christ, all the way up until you take that last breath and you go home to be with the Lord and you have perfect healing, which I'm going to promise you is a heck of a lot better than any of the healing we can get here on earth. But while we're here, boy, we may as well take advantage of it. So thank you, Nurse Nancy, for keeping me honest with God and making sure that we have this service this morning based on James 5:16. I want to give you just a couple of illustrations that I find humorous. I find humor to be a wonderful gift from the Lord, as well as a wonderful spiritual healing gift as well. I had opportunity yesterday after our intercessory prayer service to do some visitation, and one of the places I went to was Mr. Ferd's house. And I want you guys to know that Mr. Ferd loves each and every one of you, and he so misses being with us. And he's actually finally getting some relief from his pain. He's had that shoulder thing that just kind of came out of the blue, and he's been to neurologist, and he's been to immunologist, and he's been to rheumatologist, and if it's got an ologist at the end, Mr. Ferd has seen him. And most recently, he had a visit on Thursday with a pain management specialist who did some injections into his shoulders with some corticosteroids, and it finally has seemed to have helped him out. The unfortunate part is they still don't have a good diagnosis on him, but he's getting relief from his pain. And it was such a blessing to be at his house yesterday to bring him the sacrament of Holy Communion and to be able to anoint him with holy oil for healing in the name of our Lord. But I tell you that, which is a wonderful good news story, to tell you this sort of humorous component. I wasn't in the house more than about 3 or 4 minutes, and the phone rang. And Miss Marilyn, Mr. Ferd's wife, says, excuse me, Reverend, I'll be right back. And I heard her step out of the room and answer the phone. And she says, yeah, it's okay. No, he's just bringing him Holy Communion. Why is it that we have this image that when somebody shows up looking the way I looked yesterday with a clergy collar on and, you know, throwing my jacket on and walking in with the stuff I'm walking, they jump to the conclusion, oh my goodness, poor Mr. Ferd's getting the last rites put on him. we need to look to the Lord for life. God is the God of the living, not the dead. And even when this body's dead, we keep on living. And you got a choice. You can keep on living by God's plan, eternity in heaven, or you can do the opposite of that. That's up to you. He's spelled it out for you. He's laid it out for you. It's your choice. The other humorous story I wanted to share with you before we get to our anointing this morning is a testimony that I'm going to give on behalf of Mr. Stan. You guys know how much I love and appreciate Mr. Stan. And I don't know when it was, back in 2010, I guess. I mean, I was fairly new to the ministry here. Mr. Stan had gotten ill. And he tells this story probably a heck of a lot better than I, but I'm gonna try and tell it as best I can. He had gotten ill, and he had been diagnosed with lymphoma. And he was going to need a surgical procedure to get that evil tumor ripped out of him. And the Sunday before he was going in for that procedure, I said, "We need to anoint you with oil." And we pulled him over after the service into the conference room, laid hands on him, prayed, anointed him with oil. And I saw that tumor. I mean, it was protruding. I mean, you could see that thing, couldn't you? I don't know if you took pictures or not, but it was sticking out of his neck. And something, the Holy Spirit, I should say something like, I don't know, the Holy Spirit said, "Anoint that thing," and made the sign of the cross and holy oil on Mr. Stan's neck. And was it Wednesday or so that you went in? It was a couple days later. You know that thing started to shrink? Before his surgeon got to it, it started to shrink. Now, listen, I'm not saying that Reverend Graff has special powers. I don't have special powers. That's God. That's the healing presence of the Lord that's available to us when we put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. Now, the funny part of that is, a couple years later, and you've been cancer-free from that puppy, huh? That thing's gone in the name of Jesus. It is gone, not to return. But he got a little problem in a different part of the body. You know where this is going, huh, Bob? He got prostate cancer. And so he came up to me and he says, "You know, I got a little problem. I think I need a little anointing, and I know how you did it last time." I said, "If you think I'm going to..." You use your imagination. So we gave Mr. Stan an anointing in the name of the Lord, and that prostate cancer's history too. Praise God. Listen, God has given us answers. We need to receive them by faith. Lex orandi, lex credendi, lex vivendi. As we pray, so we believe. And as we pray and we believe, so we live our lives. And that is huge. We need to live our lives the way God tells us to live our lives. And it's written for us in these books of the Holy Bible. I'm going to pray over this oil. This oil is going to represent the Holy Spirit. That's what the oil represents throughout the Bible when there's an anointing. It's the presence and the coming and the welcoming of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And then I'm going to invite anyone who wants to come forward to receive an anointing. You may say, "You know what? I'm in top tip health, wealth. I've got the whole world. Wonderful." Then I want you to come forward anyway, and I want you to be thinking of somebody that you know is in need of healing. And as an intercessor, I want you to receive that anointing for them. I'm going to invite a couple of our elders to come forward. They're going to lay hands on you and silently pray over you as I anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. And no one is under obligation to come forward and do this. I welcome you, no matter who you are, to come forward and receive this anointing. But let's first pray. Heavenly Father, I lift this oil before you this morning. May the power of your Holy Spirit be felt amongst your people this morning. Your people know your voice, Lord. Give them the power to continue to search your word for the answers that they need in their life. You are what we need. You are what this world needs. You are what these governments need. You are what the church needs. And we pray, Lord, that we all have the strength to accept what you have to offer us. It is medicine to our soul. It's medicine to our body here on earth because you desire to give us life, not death. So, Lord, bless this oil. Let your healing Holy Spirit flow through it. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and let all who receive it be blessed. In your holy name, the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let all God's children say amen. Amen. I would invite my elders to come forward and invite each of you who desire to receive this anointing to come forward this morning.